Hello and welcome to Daily Prayer today for June 7th, 2021. Glad that you are with me today. I'm Reverend Ochart. Let's go ahead and get started. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. Redeeming God, we give you thanks that through the gift of our baptism, you have clothed us in your grace and made us heirs of your promise. By the power of your Holy Spirit, set us free from all that we fear and let us live according to our faith. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Our readings for today are Psalm 62 and 145, Deuteronomy 30, 1-10, 2 Corinthians 10, 1 through 18, and Luke 18, 31 through 43. Listen for God's word to speak to you. Psalm 62. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From God comes my salvation. God alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall never be shaken. How long will you assail a person? Will you batter your victim, all of you, as you would a leaning wall, a tottering fence? Their only plan is to bring down a person of prominence. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. Selah. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. For my hope is from God. God alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. In God rests my deliverance and my honor. My mighty rock, my refuge is in God. Trust in God at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before God. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balance they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. Put no confidence in extortion, and set no vain hope on robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. And steadfast love belongs to you, O Lord, for you repay to all according to their work. Psalm 145. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. God's greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall laud your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. The might of your awesome deeds shall be proclaimed and I will declare your greatness. They shall celebrate the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and God's compassion is over all that God has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to all people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all God's words and gracious in all God's deeds. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, satisfying the desire of every living thing. The Lord is just in all their ways and kind in all their doings. The Lord is near to all who call on them, to all who call on God in truth. God fulfills the desire of all who fear them. They also hears their cry, and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love them, but all the wicked God will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless God's holy name forever and ever. From Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 through 10. When all these things have happened to you, the blessings and the curses that I have set before you, if you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you, and return to the Lord your God, you and your children obey him with all your heart and with all your soul, just as I am commanding you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you, gathering you again from all the peoples among whom the Lord your God has scattered you. Even if you are exiled to the ends of the world, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there God will bring you back. The Lord your God will bring you into the land that your ancestors possessed, and you will possess it. God will make you more prosperous and numerous than your ancestors. Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, in order that you may live. The Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies and on the adversaries who took advantage of you. Then you shall again obey the Lord, observing all God's commandments that I am commanding you today. And the Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all your undertakings, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your soil. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, just as God delighted in prospering your ancestors. When you obey the Lord your God by observing God's commandments and decrees that are written in this book of the law, because you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. From 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. I myself, Paul, appeal to you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am humble when face to face with you, but bold towards you when I am away. I ask that when I am present, I need not show boldness by daring to oppose those who think we are acting according to human standards. Indeed, we live as human beings, but we do not wage war according to human standards. For the weapons of our warfare are not merely human, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. We are ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Look at what is before your eyes. If you are confident that you belong to Christ, remind yourself of this, that just as you belong to Christ, so also do we. Now, even if I boast a little too much of our authority, which the Lord gave for building you up and not for tearing you down, I will not be ashamed of it. I do not want to seem as though I am trying to frighten you with my letters, for they say his letters are weighty and strong, but his body presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such people understand that we say by letter when absent, we will also do when present. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves. But when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they do not show good sense. We, however, will not boast beyond limits, but will keep within the fields that God has assigned to us to reach out even as far as you. For we were not overstepping our limits when we reached you. We were the first to come all the way to you with good news of Christ, We do not boast beyond limits, that is, in the labors of others, but our hope is that as your faith increases, our sphere of action among you may greatly enlarged, so that we may proclaim the good news in lands beyond you without boasting of work already done in someone else's sphere of action. Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord, for it is not those who commend themselves that are approved, but those whom the Lord commends. And from Luke chapter 18, verses 31 through 43. Then Jesus took the 12 aside and said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be handed over to the Gentiles, and he will be mocked and insulted and spat upon. After they have flogged him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise again." But they understood nothing about all these things. In fact, what he said was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard a crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." Then he shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me!" Those who were in front sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he shouted even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me!" Jesus stood still and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has saved you." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, praised God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, our readings for today, great ones as always. I always say that, but you know, they're always great. Okay, so Deuteronomy. We remember from yesterday, Moses is reminding them that, you know what, you're going to go into this land and you're going to fail. And when you fail, God is going to punish you. But today we have that sort of note of redemption, that this failure is not a permanent one. But when you go into this land and when you figure out, you know what, we weren't following what God wanted us to do, and God is punishing you by the nations around you, you're going to eventually come to your senses and you're going to think, you know what? We should probably get back to that covenant that we made with God. We should get back to worshiping God instead of all of these idols. We should probably be doing righteousness instead of unrighteousness. And when that happens, God will come back. God will be at your side. God will gather you together. God will push out those enemies and give you victory over them and restore your lands and restore your children and bring all those things back. So make covenant with God, who's going to be faithful to you even knowing that you won't be faithful, God will continue to be faithful to you. This is the God that we serve. Not a God of just punishment, but a God of redemption. A God who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Not only that, but Moses continues on and says that God will, in fact, for your children, those after you, will circumcise your hearts, will give you the ability to actually love God with heart and mind and soul and strength. Because ultimately, that's not something that we can do by ourselves. It's only by God's grace already working in us that we might see that great love of God, that we can understand what that even looks like, that we can actually choose God with our heart and mind and soul and strength. So Moses, here at the edge of this land, tells them, when you go in and when you fail, you can still come back. You can still have redemption. In 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing to these Corinthians again, even though he writes with bold letters and he's meek before them, he is doing all of this to lift up their faith, for them to take hold of these things, to actually get something out of it, right? And he wants to come to them and see this great birth of faith in them. He's writing to them, and yeah, sometimes he has to say hard things. Sometimes he has to say things that they don't want to hear, but the purpose of it is so that they would come to understand the height and depth and breadth of God. And so he continually commends them in their faith, continually sort of, and he's kind of harsh on the Corinthian church. They had a lot of problems, but he's doing this so that they would be able to come to Christ, that they would be able to be redeemed, that they would be able to understand this faith that they have. Then in Luke's gospel, we have, this is the close of sort of the ministry part of Jesus's ministry. He is getting very, very, very close to Jerusalem and to the Passion. And in Luke's gospel, we may be reminded that that Jesus does not come to Jerusalem until this point in his ministry. The last time he was there, as far as Luke's gospel is concerned, was when he was a little kid, before he was even officially an adult. He's now returning to Jerusalem, and there's all the ideas about what that's going to mean. What is it going to mean that he is taking on this sort of this mantle of Messiah? And what is the difference between that mantle of Messiah and that idea of Messiah as it actually truly is, and what all the people think? And so he reminds his disciples once again, we're going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man, he refers to himself as the Son of Man, is going to be turned over and is going to be betrayed by the leaders. They're going to have him executed. And on the third day, he will rise again. And the disciples have no idea what that means, because it doesn't align with their understanding of what Messiah means. And the ludicrousness of saying that he's going to die and then be raised 3 days later, they have no idea what that means. He said all sorts of crazy stuff. Most of it is metaphorical. Most of it is like these parables and those sort of things. So maybe they think that's what he's talking about. As a commentator said, that it's they had the clothes, but they didn't have the closet in which to hang it. They didn't have a space to put that thought that Jesus would die and raise again. It just didn't compute, didn't make sense. And so they just kind of went, I don't know, he said some stuff. It was not until after it actually happened where they have that sort of architecture, that closet that is built where they can actually hang those clothes up and those ideas that, oh, that's what he actually meant. He was being literal there. It's interesting that this is paired then with the next story where the disciples are really kind of blind, right? And then we have this man who is literally blind, who sees Jesus for who he is, because he cries out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. This is absolutely a messianic title, Son of David. He is calling him out not as Jesus of Nazareth. He's calling him out as Jesus, Son of David, the fulfillment of all these promises for the anointed one that is to come. And this blind man does not care. He cries out. The crowd tells him to be quiet, partially because he's making a fuss, but also partially because he's drawing attention to, this is a pretty bold political statement to make in the midst of Roman occupation, to say, hey, other king that might be coming, right? To draw attention to that, especially so close to Jerusalem. And yet Jesus comes and asks him what he wants. He says, I want to see, and he heals him. Interestingly enough, and again in Luke's gospel, these sort of this section of Jesus's ministry and his healing begins with another blind man who is healed, but not so great. Jesus tries to heal him, and it takes a little while, right? He says, you know, can you see? And he says, everybody looks like trees. He doesn't quite see. Here, Jesus heals him, and he sees perfectly. No training wheels, he sees. He's able to understand and see. Satisfy us with your love in the morning, and we will live this day in joy and praise. Merciful God, we praise you that you give strength for every weakness, forgiveness for our failures, and new beginnings in Jesus Christ. Especially we thank you for your great love for the whole world. The plants and animals that provide our food. Those who support us in times of suffering. Accomplishments that are pleasing to you. Expressions of love, unexpected or undeserved. People of God, for what else do we give thanks? We pray for love offering. We also pray for Michael and Rachel Ludwig of the Presbyterian Mission Agency and Kathy Lukert of the Administrative Services Group, ACORP. Let us pray. God of singing stars and dancing mountains, your majesty and power astound us. Your steadfast love humbles us. We thankfully stand in your presence, pure joy. Almighty God, you know all needs before we speak our prayers, yet you welcome our concerns for others in Jesus Christ. Especially we pray for Baptist, Disciples of Christ, Pentecostal, and Free Churches. Victims of tragedy and disaster. Those who are captive or in prison. Those who weep with the grieving. Reconciliation with our enemies. People of God, for what else do we pray? We pray for Tom, a friend of Sandy's son, who has stage 4 lymphoma. We pray for Joy, a neighbor of Debbie's and former play school teacher, who's in the hospital and has been diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. For Diane and David, who are experiencing health issues. For Barbara, a friend of the church who has health issues. For Brooke, Barbara's daughter-in-law, who is having major surgery this week. For Michael, Dennis's nephew in St. Louis, who has stage 4 prostate cancer and bone cancer. And for Barbara, who fell and broke her pelvis and continues to recuperate in Baton Rouge. And for all the many other prayers that we lift before you. Protect your people, O God, and keep us safe until the coming of your new dawn, and the establishment of your righteous rule. By your Holy Spirit, stir up within us a longing for the light of your new day, and guide us by the radiance of Jesus Christ, your Son, our risen Lord. Amen. Now let us continue to pray using the words that Christ taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Bless the Lord. The Lord's name be praised. Thank you so much for joining me today for daily prayer. Join me tomorrow for some more. Like this video, share it with someone else, click on the subscription and the notification button, as well as going to our website, johncalvinchurch.org. Our readings today came from the Book of Common Worship of the Presbyterian Church USA, 2018 edition. That's the liturgy. Our readings came from the daily lectionary readings using the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. Our devotion came from the Mission Yearbook of the PCUSA. Thank you so much for joining me. Have a very blessed day. We'll see you next time. Bye.